Good morning. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings on WFHG 92.9. Thanks for tuning in. I've got Rick Allen on the board. Rick, are we ready to get this started?
We are ready.
Do you have your questions ready?
I don't have my questions ready.
Because I didn't tell you to have any ready.
I don't have any ready. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm ready for our next special guest, Rhonda Caudill and Matt Sorge with the Southern Research Society, also known as SRS Paranormal. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I've given a little bit of information, not much because I've never met you all before, about what you all are doing. And I heard that you've been doing some of this work and research kind of underground for a little bit. Maybe people haven't known about it. And now you're coming to the forefront and talking about your research and some new tools that you have that you're working with. So just set the stage a little bit about what you all do and get our listeners kind of up to date with what's been happening.
All right, so a few years back, about 13 or so years ago, I got involved in paranormal research. And over the years, we've had the opportunity to go to a lot of haunted locations and experience a lot of different phenomenon. And interestingly enough, I started out as a complete skeptic. If I couldn't touch it, taste it, feel it, it was not real to me. So that's kind of how my journey started. And fast forward through that period of time, I started working with Rhonda Caudill, who also is the owner of the Nickerson's Need House Museum. And that's actually how I met Rhonda. Rhonda is a psychic medium and also a spiritualist investigator. So in the paranormal, you sort of have different areas. You have traditional researchers who use a methodical or more scientific approach with meters, much like what we do. You have psychics who use their gifts and intuition to actually read locations and make connections. And then you have spiritualists who use the Victorian era tools, your spirit boards, your dowsing rods, and some of those things. So as we started working together, we saw an opportunity to cross-validate two things. Cross-validate the interactions that we were getting, and cross-validate the gifts that Rhonda and her daughter have that is on our team. So I'll let Rhonda talk a little bit about that, maybe about what her side of that is and kind of how we started merging this together.
Right. My experiences were my entire life. I don't remember a time that I didn't have an experience. So I kind of grew up with that. So did my daughter. But Matt had contacted me about doing an investigation at the Nickerson's Need House. And I really liked the team off the bat. I went back, I think, that evening. I think it was the first time they were there, and investigated with them a little bit that night, and I really enjoyed it. Like you said, we use dowsing rods and pendulums, spirit boards. We do seances and things like that. So to actually get to use their high-tech gear was really interesting. And for me to read the house and them to use their equipment, and when I get a hit, something I'm feeling or sensing, and they get a hit on their meters, or we catch an EVP or something that validates that, is really cool.
So we have listeners who are probably listening today and they're saying, okay, I totally get it. I understand it. And then we have people that are probably on the opposite end and think, okay, this is not anything that anybody should be involved with. How did you all start this journey? And you had mentioned before that, Matt, that you were a big skeptic.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
How did all of this come to fruition and you start thinking, okay, maybe there's something else to this. Why is this information being presented to me? Is it accurate?
Well, I'll tell you my story real quick. For me, I have another hobby. I'm a relic hunter. I like to go out and get Civil War relics. Long story short, I was at a piece of property, a farmhouse, and had, of course, permission to be there. And I was out in the middle of this big field. There's probably not another living person for 10 acres in any direction. Now, keep in mind, at this point in my life, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in psychics. I don't believe in any of that stuff. Again, if I couldn't tangibly hold it and grasp it, it wasn't real. And I'm out there, and I get a signal on the ground, and I'm going to recover that signal. And I'm looking up this old, creepy farmhouse and had that kind of, sixth sense thing going on, but totally dismissing it because I don't believe in any of those things. And I look up, and in the upper right-hand window, hand to God, this is exactly how it happened, there's what looked like an elderly woman in a white dress looking out the window at me. Now, instantly, my brain realizes that cannot be the case because this place has been abandoned for decades. It's now in the middle of a giant farm field. There's nobody should be in that house. And the amount of time my brain processed what I saw, she vanished. So I did what any rational human being does when they see a ghost. I grabbed my detector and my shovel, I threw it in my truck, and I left as quickly as I possibly could because I had just witnessed something that made no sense. on the way home, I start rationalizing that experience and saying, okay, I worked late last night at the fire department. We were up. We were busy. I had a rough shift. It's just my mind. Got enough nerve a few weeks later to go back there. Had the experience, another experience happen where this time the sun was setting behind me. Again, I'm down on the ground, getting in my hole to recover my target, and a person's shadow passes across mine. I jump up thinking somebody snuck up on me. There's nobody there. So there's two experiences. I had gone pretty much my whole life to this point without ever really experiencing anything. And then I had these two experiences. They put me on this journey. So I truly believe that that was Spirit's way of saying, hey, you know, look, this is we're out here and you need to validate these things. So I actually set out on this journey to prove that it's people who make up these experiences. 13 and a half, 14 years later, and having gone all over the country to some of the most haunted places that you could possibly imagine, I'm a true believer, but I still approach it with a real skeptical mindset. In other words, we always look for the human factor or the earthly explanation. And then this just gave us this opportunity working with Rhonda and working with that side, gave us a whole new way to look at paranormal experiences investigations. You know, what you see on like television shows is one method. But there are, like I said, those three diverse areas. So what we're trying to do is bring all that together, which is leading to a whole new way to research.
And so, Rhonda, I want to get to your story here in just a few minutes. You had mentioned in our correspondence that there were some groundbreaking investigative tools or tool that you had been using. What, from a more scientific standpoint, what are the ways that you validate what you are experiencing?
Sure. One of the things we do is we actually don't just track the personal experience, but we actually are tracking the environmental data. So we're looking for changes in pressure, humidity, EMF, anything that we can actually measure. So we get strong baselines. It's hard to take a true, what you call scientific approach, because to have a true scientific approach, you'd have to be able to duplicate the experience every single time. With the paranormal, you don't know when it's going to happen, how long it's going to last, or if it's going to occur in the same place again. So you have to kind of take more of a methodical approach. So we get baselines and make sure we know what the environmental factors are and what can influence those environmental factors. And then we see, as we start having experiences and those things happen, how those changes, we actually map that data and then correlate that data to make sure there was no earthly explanation for it. The groundbreaking part comes when you have a psychic that is truly gifted and is connecting. And now you can actually show changes in the environment are occurring while that connection is happening. We're cross-validating two things there. We're validating the experiences and the changes we're having in our meters, and we're cross-validating the gifts that she has with the ability to actually connect with whatever's there.
Okay, Rhonda, talk to us about your experience.
Well, like I said before, I've had experiences my entire life. But as I got older, I realized, you know, there's a little bit more to it than that. Not everybody saw or heard the things that I was seeing and hearing.
So before you go on to this, okay, so I've heard people say before, even they have a loved one who's passed and they feel like their presence is there, or a child will say, I really feel like there's something upstairs that I can hear. So when you were younger, how was that experience for you when you first started experiencing some of those things?
Luckily, there were several family members who had also had this type of ability. I don't know of any that were actually psychic, but they were all sensitive and they could all, you know, at times see and hear things, they felt things. So it was okay. So it was like, oh, you saw that too? You heard that too? So it was normal for me. And but then when I got to school, I found out that's not normal. So,
Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So my kids are the same way, you know. And I kind of nurtured that and in them as well so that, you know, it's okay. I believe you. I know you're not, you know, trying to get attention. So that's, It was good for me. And I feel really sorry when I hear people say that they've had the gift and their parents, you know, thought that they were just trying to get attention. They dismissed it because, you know, that's not logical. And that's the problem with society today. Everybody has, you know, pushed that down because I really feel like you're born with it. And you have it until society pushes it down and says, that's not true, that's not logical, until you get to the point where your mind cuts it off.
Okay, we do have a question. We have Rob on the line. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, young lady. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question or would you like to join the conversation?
Yep. I got a question for anybody that can answer it. I'm in my mid-50s, and the only psych thing I have is I'm psychotic. I'm not psychic. But my wife and I got two little girls. One, well, they're not little anymore. But when they were going to Science Hill High School, they got in a bad car wreck at Science Hill High School. Well, this is dead middle of winter. I come running out my house. And there is a dragonfly sitting on the antenna of my pickup truck, just sitting there. And by the time I get to the school where the wreck was at, there was a dragonfly sitting on top of my daughter's car. And I've always looked at that as, you know, that being my mom looking over, saying, it's okay. When I see a dragonfly show up, my mom saying hello or something like that. Is that unusual, or is that just something that I just made up in my head? People think I'm crazy.
That's not unusual at all. In fact, I do tea leaf readings, and I was reading this lady's cup, and it was full of butterflies. Well, I told her what the symbol for butterflies meant, and she said, oh, okay, well, my mother always loved butterflies. And I said, oh, wait a minute, do you see butterflies a lot? And she said, yes. And I told her, I said, well, forget what I said about the symbol, because this is your mother in the cup. She's letting you know she's with you. And anytime you see a butterfly, you know that's her. No, that loved ones will come through that way. They'll come through. Some people will see a specific bird or a specific animal and just they intuitively know that's their loved one coming back, and it is.
Thank you so much for your question, Rob. Thanks for listening and calling in this morning. If you do have a question, it's 1-800-469-0098. Okay, let's go back, Rhonda, to your story. So you start experiencing some things when you were younger, and then how did it transition into what you're doing today?
It just seemed like the normal thing. I became interested in tea leaf readings and spirit boards when I was 19, and I started using those, and like I said, I had family members who had experienced things, and I had some family members who actually, I know people probably don't know what this is, but table tipping. It was an early Victorian thing that they would do. They would use a table, and they would use it like a spirit board. It would put their hands on it, and it would tip back and forth. So I was familiar with that from an early, early age. So I just started, you know, pulling these tools out and using them, like the dowsing rods, and it just progressed until I got, Pat Bussard O'Keefe helped me. She mentored me for about the past 6 years. She's really helped me grow a lot.
We need to take a quick commercial break. Can you stay with us?
Of course.
Okay. Again, if you have a question, it's 1-800-469-0098. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. I'm joined back with my special guest, Rhonda Caldell, and Matt Sorge with the Southern Research Society, also known as SRS Paranormal. We were discussing during the commercial break a little bit, and just to set the stage, I don't know if you all are Super Talk listeners, but I would think a lot of our Super Talk listeners are like me. I'm a Christian. I grew up as a Christian. I would consider myself to be a conservative. And so some of the language that we're using is a little different that a lot of us growing up have felt like maybe that we shouldn't be a part of, or it's not in alignment with God or Christianity. And so I want to talk a little bit about intent, which we were discussing before. When you go into some of these places that some people would say, okay, you're just crazy for going in there. Why would you do that? Conjuring up something or whatever, seances or whatever might be there. Why would you do that? And so we were discussing a little bit during the break about the differences in what you all are doing and what a lot of other people are doing. So let's just address that a little bit. Also, the tools that you'd mentioned. I know sometimes people think, you know, those tools could be used for something that wouldn't be of light and love. So let's just discuss that and get that out on the table.
Yeah, let me start with this. I was raised, you know, traditionally in a Christian, very strong Christian setting. And, you know, I think that we sometimes look at things through a certain lens and we don't look at things more globally. The intent is the key thing here. So it's sort of like your interactions with people. Well, people in death are no different than they were in life. So your interactions should match that as well. So what I'm saying is, if you're mean and nasty to living people, then you're going to get a mean and nasty response. And if you go into haunted locations and you're trying to make contact with whatever might be there, if your intent is to be mean and negative, well, then you shouldn't really be surprised when you get mean and negative in return. So I think sometimes we label things, and we let society, and we let, you know, even Hollywood say that, oh, you know, Ouija boards are an evil thing. It's a tool. It's how you use it. It's not, you're not going to conjure a demon just by using a tape recorder or a Ouija board. It's what you intend to do. Now, if you intend to use that to try and conjure something dark or invoke something dark or negative, then that's exactly what may happen to you. If you go in with love and light, just trying to get answers, you're going to have a totally different interaction. And I think Rhonda probably wants to expand on that a little bit.
It's basically, they work on the same premise. The spirit board, a seance, dowsing rods, pendulums, they all work just like video recording or audio recording. You're asking a question and you're getting a response. So it's really no different.
You have several events. I went to your website. You've got some great pictures, and you've been experimenting and going to some of the most haunted locations here in our area, our region, and across the board. And I've noticed several of your events are already sold out. Where are some of the places that you've been that are probably the most interesting, maybe that you have not, don't scare us, I'm just kidding, but seriously, that you may have not expected some things to come up, and wow, some of the things that you maybe are having coming up in the future events?
Well, real quick, I'll touch on some of the stuff we have coming up. We will be back at the Tipton Haynes Historic Site in the month of October for a few dates. We haven't announced those yet. We do have an event coming up at the T.B. Rippey House in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. It's a whiskey barn house that actually goes on to become Wild Turkey. It's a haunted location. We have some other events coming up along with those. Places we've been that probably surprised us. I've got two, and I think Rhonda's got probably the same two. Brushy Mountain Penitentiary was insane. The activity we experienced there was more than we bargained for sure. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise considering that it was one of the toughest prisons that anybody could have ever served time in. Just the interactions there were pretty intense. And I have to say, Hinsdale House in upstate New York, it's a very famous place. It was thought to have been a demonic case when it was back in the 70s. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just some dark energy there. We weren't really prepared, I think, for that one. I think that one took us a little off guard because it was a little darker than we anticipated. But I'd say those, for me, are probably the two that really were different than we thought. And we'll have those coming out on our YouTube channel and some stuff coming out on those on our Facebook and stuff as we get the evidence collected from those.
I would have to agree. Those are the two. I wasn't prepared for Brushy. I wanted to go in and connect and read the place and see what I could get. And then so then when they said, oh, Hinsdale's dark, I'm like, okay, I'm going to really prepare for this one. I still wasn't prepared. Even, you know, all the meditation and the grounding, everything I had done, still I was unprepared for that place as well. But, yeah, those are two really dark places.
Now, on your website, and you can give that information here in just a few minutes if people are interested, and then on my Facebook page, I will put the link so that people can find that as well. When you're talking about an investigation, what does that encompass if somebody is going to go? Because some of these you open up to the public, right, if people
Yes.
are interested.
Yeah, public investigations are usually a shorter time window than when we do an actual investigation. When we do actual investigation, it actually starts beforehand. Our psychics are preparing for themselves to enter that environment, and we're doing all the research. And what we do is we research the location, we get all the facts, but we don't tell them any of those facts. Then when we bring them in and let them read the location, we'll see what they connect with to cross-check that with the facts that we've uncovered. And then we go deep to make sure that we cross off the folklore from the facts. Then we go in and we get our baseline investigation stuff, we set out our equipment, our baseline data, and then we go in and do our actual setup of our equipment, and then in teams we'll go in and do different experiments to try and elicit responses that can encompass both sides, spiritual and conventional. So that's kind of how we approach an investigation. A public, we do more of a little classroom portion up front, and then we actually take the public out and let them use some equipment and see kind of what we do.
So how many people do you currently have on your team?
Eight. We have a historian. We have Rhonda is our lead psychic medium spiritualist investigator. Her daughter is also with us as a psychic and spiritual investigator. Christina Bowen is our photographic analysis expert. And then myself and Kevin are lead investigators. And Al is our case manager. He prepares all our locations and gets us set up with all of our stuff. And Wes is our historian.
So if people are interested in learning more information, what's your website?
www.srsparanormal.com.
Okay, before I let you go, I'm wondering what the response has been from people in the community now that you're coming forward and saying, oh, by the way, for the last 13 years, this is what we've been doing.
A little bit of everything. Some are really excited and kind of pull you to the side and say, hey, I've had these experiences. And others are like, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. So the last thing I'll say real quick is it's easier to be a skeptic than it is to go in there and actually try to figure out what's going on. It's really easy to dismiss the paranormal phenomena until you experience it. Once you experience it, it is a life-changing thing.
And what do you do after you finish an investigation?
We go through all the evidence. Typically, we'll have anywhere from 80 to 120 hours of video and audio to go through. We'll go through and try to debunk all that stuff and find earthly explanations. We'll prepare a detailed report with all of our experiences and all of the data. Then we'll meet with the client and we'll go over what we find or don't find. Sometimes validate their experiences. Sometimes break their heart and tell them that, you know, it was really the doors hinges that need oiled. So it's a little bit of both. And we do some residential work. So if people are experiencing things that they don't understand, those are private cases. We don't publicize that. We don't put that information out into cyberspace. That's between us and the client. So we do a little bit of both.
That's one of the things I noticed on your website. I can't remember the quote exactly, but it was essentially searching for the truth.
Yes. Yeah, we're not ghost hunters. We're truth seekers.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, Rhonda?
It's been a ride. It has. I haven't really experienced anything negative from the community. Everybody seems to be really interested. They're like, my grandmother did this, or my grandmother did that, or, you know, I had a great aunt that used a spirit board, but, you know, and I was always interested, but my mother said no. So these people are coming out. I think there's a new spiritualist movement underway.
Well, thank you all for being here and sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having
us.
You'll have to come back sometime after some other adventures. And like you said, you do have some YouTube videos out there. There is one also on your website,
yes,
which is pretty interesting. That
kind of
shows
about our concept.
What you do.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. When's your next event, did you say?
It'll be in October. We'll have some dates coming up in October.
Okay. Yep. Keep us posted. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9.